my kid, there's a guy named Michael Jordan. And everybody wanted to be like Mike. Commercials, everything. So this slogan this morning said, I want to be like Mike. It's not really what I'm talking about. It's like, I want to be like David. I don't know if you're familiar with the story of David or not, in a lot of ways, like I'm going to talk about this morning. But one thing about David that I learned through 1 Samuel was that there was a lot more to David than just what we know. And I want you to think about this. Here's what we know. Everybody knows this. He killed Goliath. What chapter was that from, Casey? 17. All right. Ernest can tell you probably about the armor of Goliath. Jack and Abby and Quan, they can give you all kinds of facts. All right, so we know about Goliath, and we know that story. Okay, we know that he was a king. Okay, 2 Samuel is when he really takes over his kingship. We know that he slept with Bathsheba, and the whole story there. And we can go on a whole lesson about that. And then the last thing is we know he's a psalmist. He wrote a lot of the psalms. I tell you, one of my favorite psalms, and it's actually going to be the invitation song, Psalm 51, where it says, create in me a clean heart, O Lord. And I really like that. And I've done a sermon. I can't remember. I've taught class and preached at different places, so some of my stuff overlaps. I might have done that sermon here. I can't remember. But create in me a clean heart. And so we think about David. And these are the things we know about him. And we can go on and on about these stories. But here's kind of what impresses me. And when I preach, I like to tell you what I think and feel. So hopefully you can kind of share in that. So that's why it's just what impresses me, because it might not impress you. So here you go. God said David was a man after his own heart. Personally, I think this is the best compliment you could ever receive. Could you imagine if God said, Sean, your heart is after mine. Wow. I mean, put that on your resume. It might not help in the world today. They're like, so what, God thinks you got a good heart. That doesn't matter. But as a Christian, if I allow us to really stand up and say, God thinks that my heart is like his own, how powerful is that? And David, here's David, and he gets told about that. And actually, we're going to back it up with Scripture, because that's what I like to do. 1 Samuel chapter 13, verse 14. But now your kingdom shall not continue. The Lord has sought for himself a man after his own heart. And the Lord has commanded him to be commander over his people, because you have not kept what the Lord commanded you. Okay? Obviously we know, as we're going to read the next thing, Saul was the king at the time. Saul was the right-looking guy, the right type of guy. He gets in there as king, does some things wrong. He loses it. And God says that he has sought for himself a man after his own heart. One of my favorite verses in the book of 1 Samuel is 16:7. And it's a great Bible. It's just one of those, if I was a parent, which I'm not, but one of those moments when your kid does something and you're like, it just melts your heart. Well, I consider my Bible ball team my little kids, because I'm with them so long. And the question came up, 1 Samuel chapter 16:7, and they all got the answer right, and it just gives me chills thinking about it. Anyways, it says that God doesn't look at people like we do. It says he looks at their heart. Man looks at outward appearance, but God looks at the heart. And so God knew that David had the right kind of heart to be the man that he wanted him to be. And so, as Chris read this morning, Acts 13:22 backs that up. It says, and when he had removed him, as Chris mentioned, Saul, he raised up for them David as king, to whom also he gave testimony and said, I have found David the son of Jesse, a man after my own heart, who will do all my will. David is not perfect. Okay? He never claimed to be perfect. But I think a lot of times when we think of David, we think David and Goliath, and we think David and Bathsheba. And a lot of us want to focus on, a lot of times we want to focus on, he was a bad guy because of the whole David and Bathsheba. But look at what God's saying. David was a man after God's own heart. And I thought that was a pretty impressive. And it really impresses me that he gets that title. And then my second point, David continued to serve despite being hated by Saul. I don't know know if you really have ever read 1 Samuel, but man, Saul could not stand David. I don't know what it was. I think it's jealousy. I mean, because here's David. And you think about David comes in, kills Goliath. Here's this hotshot, young, good-looking guy. Said he was good-looking and ruddy. I have no clue what ruddy was, but he was good-looking. Anybody wants to define that for me, I'd be appreciative. The whole time I taught 1 Samuel, I never knew what ruddy meant. I didn't take time to look it up. But he said he was good-looking. Here he comes in, and he's the good-looking guy, the hero. And then a funny thing about David was he was a harpist. And he played the harp. And it's just like this mighty warrior who kills a giant and he's over there playing the harp for Saul. Anyways, we're not going to go off on that story. Because that really just makes me laugh. But David continued to serve despite being hated by Saul. Saul hated him so much, they tried to kill him. And if you remember our Bob Bowl shirts, what was Saul's activity? Anybody look at the back of our Bob Bowl shirts that won first place? Does anybody remember what he was doing? He was throwing what? Spears. Tried to throw spears at David. God's in control. He misses. But I think Saul just can't throw a spear. But he hated him. And just warned him dead. Why? Because David was somebody he saw as a threat. Here's a guy that this guy could take my position. I think Saul had that in the back of his mind, jealousy. Like, this guy's better. It talked about one time. They were coming back, and these women come dancing and singing up to Saul, saying, "You killed your thousands, but David's killed his 10,000. I mean, it just enraged him. But David seems innocent the whole time. As he goes throughout the whole story, he just continues to do what he has to do. No matter what Saul does to him, tries to kill him, does all this, pursues him, David continues on. And so that really impressed me. And the third point, David remained humble even when revenge was in his grasp. Great story comes along at the end, last chapter, matter of fact, that we do in Bible Bowl. David has got his chance. Saul has been chasing him all over the country, and we're not going to go through the towns that he went through. He gets him, and he's at this cave. Well, actually, let's just read the verse, because that's a lot easier than me telling you. So David also rose afterward, went out of the cave, and called out to Saul, saying, "My lord the king." And when Saul looked behind him, David stood with his face to the earth and bowed down. And David said to Saul, "Why do you listen to the words of men who say, 'Indeed, David seeks you harm'? Look this day, your eyes have seen that the Lord delivered you today into my hand in the cave. And someone urged me to kill you, but my eyes spared you. And I said, 'I will not stretch out my hand against my Lord, for he is the Lord's anointed. Moreover, my father, see, yes, the corner of your robe in my hand, for in that I cut off the corner of your robe and did not kill you. Know and see that there is neither evil nor rebellion in my hand, and I have not sinned against you, yet you hunt my life to take it.'" What a scene. David had his chance. David's in the cave. Saul has no clue that David and his men are in there with him. What an awesome movie that would be. I think 1 Samuel needs to be the next movie that comes out. Anybody wants to produce it, I got some great ideas. David's back there, and he's got the chance. And how does he respond? He doesn't respond in anger. Just stop for a second and think about this. Here's a guy who's been trying to kill you, and you've got your chance. Are you going to walk out and say these exact words as you're bowed down before him and say, "I respect you because you're my Lord"? Lowercase L, because the Lord anointed you. That's a powerful lesson right within itself. So, here's what I learned. I'm going to take those 3 points, I'm going to tell you the application of how you can make it, hopefully in your life, so it's hopefully with me. I can live my life striving to have a heart that God is pleased with, even with my many shortcomings. David messed up with Bathsheba, and then went on to try to cover his tracks and murder her husband. You know the whole deal. But if David can have a heart after God's heart, then I can strive to be like that, I think. And I know. And so that is my first lesson I learned from David. First thing I thought is, like, if David can be like that, then I can be like that. And so often we think about in life, well, I just can't be somebody like David. Why not? Why not? Okay, so he might not have the warrior strength to go out and kill a giant, and he might not be able to be king. But at the same time, whatever your talents God gives you, you can serve. And you can do those things to the best of your ability, knowing that you're pleasing God. I can keep on serving even when I feel like everyone is against me and nothing I do is successful. I don't know if you struggle with this or not, but one of my biggest weaknesses is I worry about what others think. And so David didn't stop because Saul was against him. And who knows who else was against him? You know? We don't know. But David didn't stop. And so for me, I can keep on doing the things I do and not worry about what everyone else is thinking as long as I'm trying to please God with the things in my heart. And so, what if everybody had this mentality? I'll keep on serving. Because so often, I think the church doesn't grow or doesn't stay involved because too many people want to complain and put other people down about what they're doing instead of actually getting there and doing it. And you think about this congregation, and I'm on a little side tangent, just bear with me. But how awesome is Echo Hills that every week somebody gets the opportunity to stand up in the pulpit and preach the Word of God? And you go to most congregations and you'll never get a chance because you might not have a doctorate or a degree or a fancy title in front of you. But here you have the chance to do it. I think that's awesome. And here it's such a loving congregation that it might be your first time or it might be your thousandth time to preach, but we're supportive of each other. Same with song leading, serving on the Lord's table, getting involved in projects. I think that's the key in how a church grows. And so, what if we had that mentality that whatever I do, I'm going to do it, no matter who's against me. And to know that what I am doing is successful. Why is it successful? Because I'm doing it for the Lord. And I believe that if you're doing things for the Lord, even with the right heart, things will be successful. Might not be successful in man's eyes, but in God's eyes. And then the one I really want to focus on, the word that they used to struggle with. I can keep my humility no matter how situations may work against me. Going back to that whole cave scene, I'm going to tell you this right now. If I was in that cave and I had the opportunity, somebody had been talking trash about me, trying to kill me, it had been the end of Saul. End of the chapter, end of the book, end of the whole thing. Sean messed up because I would have taken him out. If I had my chance to seek revenge with somebody, you do something to me, I'm going to seek revenge. That's how I always was. But look at David. What an example of humility. That he bowed down to someone that couldn't even stand him. And so I think about this, and I never really get into politics. I don't get into politics. Probably because I'm simple-minded, I get into sports. But I almost have thought about stop looking at Facebook, because I'm getting tired of people putting stuff political on there and bashing people, whether it's one way or the other. And I think about this. Our job is number one to be a Christian. First and foremost. That's the first thing. And so, think about this. And I'm going to tie it in political. I'm tied in my job in a second. But think about this. Whoever's in position over me, I have to be like David, and I have to respect that and know that that's what the Lord put in place. And so often I think about work. I have a trouble sometimes, and it might just be me, but I have a trouble with people that might be in a position above me, putting me down in my position. And it makes me mad sometimes. And I work for a great organization. And it's a great place, but I struggled for a long time. I wanted to quit my job. And this family here, so I can feel like I can share. I wanted to quit my job. My boss put me through some situations that I just didn't agree with. And then I go and I study all summer about, here's David, who I might be upset because my boss is putting tasks on me that I think are not reasonable. And here's David, who has a king who's trying to kill him. And what's he doing in the situation where he has a chance to confront him? He bows down and he respects him. If that's not humility of the greatest example, then what is? That you have an opportunity to get revenge. For me, I get upset. I'm mad. I'm like, why is my boss doing this? And, and I want to complain about it. And in this situation, I need to be humble like David and say, you're put in position as my boss and I need to respect you. Same thing with politics. Sometimes we've got to realize that, yeah, we might not agree with what's going on, but we've got to learn to respect our authority. I think we can all relate to that, especially in our jobs. We all have bosses. And we've got to learn to respect it. And so it's a life lesson for me. So as you can see, this is not a state-of-the-art, world-renowned sermon that is going to change your life forever. But what I wanted to do this morning is take you back to what we learned about in 1 Samuel and kind of tie it in about David. Because David is an awesome guy. And we can learn some things. I think you could write your own lesson off of different things. But I want you to remember those things. So here's the three things. First of all, strive to have a heart like God. And if you ever get that compliment from somebody, somebody looks at you and says, you know what? I can tell that you love God. And you've made it in life. If you can walk out this door and you can live your life the right way and somebody comes up to you that doesn't know you and says, you have a heart for God, that's the best compliment you will ever receive. Second thing is, keep on doing the Lord's work. No matter when things are against you, keep on doing it. And knowing that you will be successful. And the third thing is, humility. Respect those that are in a position above you. And I think those are the keys that David taught us. So, I know it's a simple lesson this morning. It wasn't anything big, but I just wanted to share it. It's been on my mind a lot since we read the thing. So remember two things from this lesson this morning. My favorite verse in 1 Samuel 16:7. God doesn't look at outward appearance. He looks at the heart. Man looks at outward appearance. Let's start looking at each other's hearts. That's how we know who we really are and who we're dealing with. And the second thing I want you to take away from this morning is we can be like David. So in a second, we're going to have Papa come up and lead us in creating me a clean heart. But I want you to think about that. If you've ever had a chance to read Psalm 51, actually the song is written almost verbatim like the scripture, kind of. But the good thing about youth songs is a lot of them that are newer songs that we sing, or a lot of them you'll be reading the Bible and you're like, wow, that's a verse. And you didn't know it. So all this time, Dave was actually teaching me Bible through youth song because he knew I wouldn't open up my Bible. So he taught me through song how to read Bible. So then I'm like, oh, wow, seek ye first the kingdom of God. Matthew 6:33. Talked about that in class the other night. I didn't know there is. I caught you. Matthew 6:33. Anyways, it says, create in me a clean heart, O God. Restore unto me your salvation. And it goes on to talk about cleansing you, making me white as snow. And it's David talking about, David talking about the whole deal that he came out of with Bathsheba. And that whole deal, he's saying, God created me a clean heart. So let's make that the invitation this morning. Let's make that our desire. Because if we have a clean heart that God has cleansed us of, guess what? Then people are going to see that heart. And they're not going to just look at our outward appearance. Because we can be like Saul. Saul was head and shoulders above and good looking. But obviously his heart wasn't right. And then there came David, who was good looking and ruddy. And he had the right heart. And who did God have favor in? The one with the heart. So looks don't matter, guys. I wish the women understand that and realize I have a good heart. Anyways, so the sermon, the invitation to this morning is you have the opportunity to have your salvation renewed, your heart cleansed, because God has always given us that invitation. I know as Christians, we're all Christians here, we think about that. So I encourage you this morning, if your heart's maybe not how you want it to be, and you just need the prayers of the church. Or maybe you need the fire that it needs to do some things, to get out there and serve, and to get more involved. And you're just needing encouragement from this congregation. I know it's here. And if you're not a Christian, why not make it today that you join God's forces, you join His family, you become a Christian by being baptized and committing your life over to Him. Whatever your needs may be,